Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation Liz. For the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. Yeah. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer, a podcaster, a producer. And our question of the day is about Twitter. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to talk about Elon Musk later, but what would you do if you could buy Twitter? Jewel, what would you do?
Hi, this is Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister, and I live in Dallas, Texas. That is so simple, Leanne and Liz. I would institute the rule that it's all animals all the time. That's the only thing you're allowed to post. Think about what a source of enjoyment, appreciation, positivity would be if it was just populated by animals and cute animal videos. Can you imagine hedgehogs, dogs, cats, everyone? Yeah.
Sounds delightful.
Yes.
Delightful.
Well, how about you, Liz? What do you think?
This is Liz Dolan. I'm the middle sister. I live in Santa Monica, California. I was thinking, remember when Twitter was fun?
Yeah.
It's back in the day when it used to be 140 characters, and it sort of forced you to just be thoughtful about what you were saying and craft it a little bit. It's missing that sense of craft now. So if I bought Twitter, I would say everything must be iambic pentameter. That's my new rule for Twitter. You can't crank it out in iambic pentameter. We don't want to hear about it.
That's going to eliminate a lot of people. Liz.
A lot of people. Yes, yeah. that's my goal.
No, I just like an edit button. That's it. That's the only thing.
You just want an elite little social media place. Okay, I get it.
No. I want to be able to edit the tweets. You can't if you have a typo in your tweet, like it lives forever.
Oh,
excruciating. So no, there's no edit button. I'm not elite. I am not elite.
Oh, I thought Liz's request to have iambic pentameter.
Oh, okay.
Yours just to edit.
Julie, what I'm essentially trying to do is have less people spend less time talk on Twitter and talking about Twitter. Just less Twitter would be good.
Okay. All right. Well, we're talking about Twitter later. So hang on to your hats. We have a bitter business bureau starring Liz and her disdain for, what do you call them, Liz? You call them big baby big billionaires.
Big baby billionaires, Leanne. Big baby billionaires.
Okay. Also, maybe didn't know, but today on Satellite Sisters is Viola Davis Appreciation Day. Yay. So I'm just going to go through a couple of reasons why we should be appreciating Viola Davis. She seems to be having a moment. Julie, you have a couple of good entertaining sisters recommendations for us, correct?
I do, including a Broadway show. How about that?
Unexpected. There you go. And good news for those of you who are like, how can I download this podcast? Liz is going to tell you.
I know some people are having some issues. It's super simple. I'm here to help.
Okay. All right. First, though, tax day was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So that meant that I spent some excruciating time with my 20-something supervising his taxes. And I would just like to issue a trigger warning to Diane, our accountant. You should not listen to the segment. Just fast forward through it, because I'm sure I gave wrong advice and bad advice. And in general, it was tax days with your 20-something. They are the worst parenting moments you can have.
Explain. How did it start, Leon? I mean, was it your son asked you for tax help?
Yeah. I mean, remember, Julie, I've done, again, being a freelancer for many, many years.
Yes,
so my older son, first of all, when he had to start paying taxes, he was just so resentful of taxes. So I had to really talk him down off the ledge. Like, he was just bitter about taxes, didn't understand taxes. So that's when you're starting at that point, it's hard to... It's hard to really have a lot of productive conversation.
Right.
So this time I was helping Colin, my younger son, who has been working here in Los Angeles as a freelance photo assistant for the year. Now that means you get paid on 1099s or occasionally W-2s, and you have to enter a lot of things. If you're working a lot, you have to enter a lot of things into your tax form. So his big beef was not the paying of taxes. It was the software and how we are held hostage by software companies, and why shouldn't the software be free because he is paying his taxes, even though so again, I'm
just
coming
so
from,
hard to be an adult, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just when the reality of life just like smacks you in the face and you have to pay for bad software.
Yeah, it's just, and so, I mean, Liz, you're right. He's not wrong. It's not perfect.
It's terrible.
And it's not really free. You know, the ads are like free, 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 free. Not really. Like if you have more than one 1099, it's not free. You have to upgrade. Like, you see, they're just trying to sell me things. So his issue was really with corporate America, the man, the patriarchy. He had a lot of issues that we were starting with. So, you know, we're putting in the 1099s. And I just take it one line at a time. I kept saying, take it one line at a time. I said, you know, you don't have to use the software. They have, I think you can still go get the old forms and write them out and take them to the post office. And he looked at me and this is what he said. He goes, I'm not a caveman. I'm not going to mail something.
Oh, this just sounds like such a delightful afternoon, you know. I hope you took a little video of it, you know, but maybe a TikTok video of you too.
Special times. Special times.
But you got it done. He pressed send. It's gone.
He pressed send. But I said, next year, I'm begging you. I said, get a big envelope, throw everything in it. Because, well, when you're freelance, like you have a lot of stuff. He wanted to itemize deductions. I'm like, well, if you don't have any receipts, you can't itemize deductions. You can't just decide a year later to itemize the deductions you don't have. Like you can, your business, but you need the envelope. Just throw it all in and organize it. I mean, I've done that for many, many years, you know, like that's how it works with freelance. It gets a little bit more, you know, sophisticated as you go on, but in the beginning, just get an envelope, throw everything in.
Just write 2022 on it. Yeah. Leave it under your desk.
Right. Boom. There's even apps for that now.
He's resistant to the software. Well, get an envelope. All right. Get an envelope, caveman. Get an envelope. Okay. So it was fun. We got it in.
Well, that sounds good. Well, tax day in our house is actually, it is always tax day. So that's that. But it's also happens to be a big birthday in my family. My oldest son, Nick's birthday is April 15. And my youngest granddaughter, Evelyn, is April 15th. So it's a big day. So
Wow. I forgot Evelyn.
How about that? Yeah, we got the double birthday. So I'll talk a little bit about seeing Evelyn later. But for Nick's birthday, we did something special. It also happened to be Easter weekend. And we went to Mexico, sisters. Mm. And I'm back from Mexico. How about that? So, you know, Nick and his family and their three kids are very adventuresome. And when they have been to Mexico several times, they like to go down there. They like to rent a house. And then they like to do all kinds of action and adventure and really see a lot of places. They don't like to just sit around on the beach. They like to do things. So we went to a little town that was just north of Tulum, down there. They rented a very nice house through, you know, VBRO. And that was our base of operations. It was a little beach town, wasn't too busy. There weren't a lot of people other than Liz, sea turtles, a lot of sea turtles.
Oh, nice.
Yes, Liz.
The kids get to see sea turtles?
Yes, they got to see sea turtles. A lot of sea turtle spotting. But I wanted to talk about one thing that we did on the trip that was really special. We went to a UNESCO World Heritage Site biosphere. Have you ever been to a biosphere?
No, I didn't even know they were real.
Doesn't that sound great? I know. It sounds wonderful, does it? Well, there, UNESCO has appointed about over 700 of these biospheres around the world. Okay. These are preserves, they're sanctuaries, they're environmental areas that are protected, and they have a unique and distinctive features in each of these biospheres. So we're on the Yucatan Peninsula. So we went to a biosphere called the Sian Kan. And we're going to put it in the show notes. So this is just south of Tulum, Mexico. And this is supposed to be a very special place. It's a freshwater preserve right on the coast, but it also has a series of mango, they're like high grasses and mango areas where mango tree areas where the Mayans cut canals through these areas. And you can You can float through these canals, you know, on some of the same trails that the Mayans created centuries ago.
Wow.
And that sounds pretty good. So we're psyched. We head down to the UNESCO site and you need a boat to get there. So of course we have a boat captain. We meet our boat captain, Mario. He's in the parking lot. He's on a bicycle and he's got a 5-gallon jug of gasoline. Okay. And
so I was like, it's encouraging. Yeah.
That's encouraging. Oh, no. And he said, okay. Yeah. Okay. Just walk 5-10 minutes down this road. It's into a jungle. We are like walking into a jungle. Okay. So I was like, oh, well, at least I have my family with me. So we get there, we get to the coast and there's a big UNESCO sign. So I'm feeling better. And then we get into, it wasn't a cigarette speedboat, but it's like a giant Boston Whaler. And Mario's driving the boat. We're going 1,000 miles an hour. We are going so fast in this boat. I'm holding on to my youngest grandson. I feel like at any minute he's going to bounce out. There is nobody around us. Okay. So I'm like, again, I'm thinking, well, at least I have most of my family when I disappear into the mountains. Right. I was like, so where are we going? And then all of a sudden the boat comes to a big lurch. Okay. We have entered these canals that the Mayans have built, tall grasses, the mango groves, everything. The water.
Julie,
is-
can I interrupt a second? Are they mangoes or mangroves?
Mangroves.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Mangroves. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Mango. Did I say mango? I meant to
say.
You said
mango. Yeah. I was actually fact checking you. Well,
okay. Let's go for it. Mangrove.
Okay.
Mangrove. Sorry. So excited. Okay. Mario, maybe that's the way he said it. I don't know. Anyway, so he stopped the boat. Okay. And he said, okay, you get out here and I meet you in 40 minutes on the other side. Bye-bye. Okay. That's I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But fortunately, there was one other group of French tourists there. So we all have our life preservers, but now the French tourists have taken off their life preservers and they are stepping into their life preservers. They are putting their legs into the armholes and buckling the life preserver around their waist. Can you imagine that?
For the walk. Yeah.
Not for the walk. This is now they're going to jump into this water, this canal, and float away. But I thought it was just a French thing, Leanne. I don't know, as part of your research for your book, I thought it was a French thing that they were doing, but they did that so that when you're floating, you're actually like sitting up a little, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
It was really quite ingenious. I mean, at first, you know, it seems sort of weird to wear your life preserver that way. I don't know if it actually protects you from drowning. I guess your head could still go under, whatever. But then we had the most magnificent, incredible experience just floating down this canal, crystal clear water, fish all around us. And in this biosphere, they have monkeys, they have birds, they have flamingos, okay? They have crocodiles there. We didn't see any crocodiles. Mario said they only come out at night. I did not believe that, but that's what Mario said. But they also have jaguars. They have jaguars there and ocelots because it is a protected area. They have all this fantastic, fauna and animals that are just running around out there in this. And miracle of miracles, 40 minutes later, as we floated down this this canal, winding around, you know, so peaceful, just hearing birds and the beautiful sky there on the other side. Was Captain Mario.
Oh, great.
Right.
And he managed to take us back. So all I'm saying that I think if you have an opportunity to visit any of these UNESCO World Heritage biospheres, it's well worth the effort. I mean, to say this was off the beaten track. Yes, this was off the beaten track. Okay. But my daughter-in-law, Vera, had investigated this. She had researched this. People say, said, oh, it's a top 10 experience if you go to the Yucatan Peninsula. And it was amazing.
Wow. Kids must have loved it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the kids loved it. Yes. So, and I think it was sort of fun for all ages. I mean, you wouldn't want really little children, again, because the boats are traveling at such high speed, they may go flying out. But Leanne, I was so worried being on this boat. I thought, if we have to swim off the boat, how am I ever going to get back into this boat?
Water? I hear you.
But there was some kind of rickety dock situation that we could go on. So this was a little adventuresome. It's maybe not for everybody, but if you have that sense, I think you would really enjoy it. And it is something that I would look for if I was traveling to other parts of the world to see if there are other sites that you could go visit. And it's great, given all the development on the Yucatan Peninsula, that they're protecting this area and the animals and plants that live there.
Julie, I can tell from the photos online that is the way most people float that river with their life preserver diapers. Yeah, there's plenty of pictures.
Yes, it seems a little
unorthodox. It looks beautiful.
But you may try that the next time you're in a body of water and you're put the life preserver on like a diaper and you sort of sit in it. It's like being in a bucket chair or something. Nice. It's pretty nice.
Okay. Sure.
Hey, quite an adventure. All right. A good report, Jewel. I have a follow-up from last week that I want to share because a relatively minor item I noted on the to-do list at the end of last week's show did create a lot of conversation in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. And that was, I had mentioned that I was getting a lot of promotional emails from Gwyneth Paltrow. And Gwyneth, she's got the whole Goop thing going on. It's based right here, like near where I live. And so as part of the whole Goop empire, they were launching a rotisserie chicken service. And I thought, just because we live to serve here at Satellite Sisters, we like to do, Julie goes, exploring the Yucatan. I'm going to order an overpriced rotisserie chicken. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to bring all of our findings to you. So I mentioned last week that the rotisserie chicken was $36.95, which seemed like a lot compared to I go to Pavilions and I pay $9.99. And there were many people, Julie, in the Facebook group who said, well, I go to, you know, Costco and pay $4.95.
Right.
Of course.
Best rotisserie chickens ever. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for $36.95 at Goop Rotisserie, you're getting, it's a Mary's chicken. So those are the good organic chickens, right? So you're getting a whole Mary's rotisserie chicken and one shareable side. Well, right there, one side for $36.95. Don't you think, I mean, doesn't everything come with two sides? I
mean, well, who do you think Gwyneth thinks this is going to serve? Like a family?
There's a more expensive family package, Julie. There's a $49.95 package with more shareable sides. Anyway, so this is a slow roasted rotisserie chicken finished with what they call Bird Alert, which is their secret chicken jus. And so I Googled Bird Alert to find out like what's in Bird Alert. What is that? And everything on Google was actually about birds. You know, it was where to find birds. So they are keeping their secret very well because even Google doesn't know what's in the Bird Alert. So I got that. And it does come already cut into pieces. So you got that going for you.
Oh, thank goodness. Cause it's so taxing cutting. Oh, that 95. Is worth it's
violently into yeah. have to cut the turkey chicken. Yes.
But here's the thing. Okay. Bird Alert jus, I can report it's really not much of anything. It's just kind of the juice of the chicken. Looks like it has a few spices in it. It really is just like chicken juice. So you have to pay extra for sauce. What the
what?
Heck? Exactly. This is where the outrage began. The $36.95 did not outrage me, but the extra $1.95 for actual sauce because secret chicken jus is not anything at all. Okay. That's where I really drew the line. So that bugged me. They do have a lot of other things on the menu. A lot of vegetable salads and things. I would say the rest of the menu is very cauliflower forward. You know, and I think that cauliflower is the vegetable whose number one attribute is that it really doesn't taste like anything. I think of cauliflower really as the tofu of vegetables. So that's what they do with it. Anyway, so there's a lot of cauliflower there. Didn't order any of that. I did order a nice cashew slaw. So it arrived. Here's what I would say. I would say the best thing about most grocery stores is that the rotisserie chicken is always good and probably better than the rotisserie chicken.
Wow.
Which was a perfectly fine chicken is the way I would describe it. Perfectly fine. Nothing special. And I don't like to bag on Gwyneth just because she's Gwyneth Paltrow. But, you know, I was expecting better. Is all I'm going to say. I think even I could roast a chicken that would taste better, you know, but rotisserie chicken is delicious. It's widely available at a low cost. I think you should take advantage of that wherever you live. You do not need Goop chicken to move to your neighborhood. That's my chicken report.
It's quite an investigative report, guys. Thank you.
So thorough, Liz.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just felt like, I don't know what I was expecting.
Right. That's a lot of money for a bird. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know I said it to you guys in a text. For $36.95, I was kind of expecting Gwyneth to deliver it. And no, it was just some guy. Very nice packaging, though. Did I mention that? Soup. I think that's where they're spending the money, is on the very nice Goop bag that it comes in. So, okay. So that's my food testing that I've been doing this week. Goop chicken, whatever. But I did want to remind everyone that this weekend, Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, I'm doing an episode of Cooking with Liz, where in honor of Leon's Lost and Found in Paris and the visit of Patricia Wells to the Satellite Sisters show a couple of weeks ago, I am making Patricia Wells's mini croque monsieur's. So it's basically ham and cheese, right? It's a grilled ham and cheese sandwich. So I think But that sounds delicious. So that's what I'll be making 2 p.m. on YouTube. I'll post the recipe. I meant to do that before we recorded this. But by the time you're hearing this, it will be posted in the Facebook group and I'll circulate it around. And I look forward to seeing anyone who wants to do this live with me Saturday, 2 p.m. Grilled ham and cheese, people. It's gonna be good.
Sounds better than chicken, Liz. Better than chicken.
Better than secret sauce, which is not sauce. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Still bitter about it, Liam.
Liz, you know, I am now just a devotee to my prose regimen, right? My hair care regimen.
I know that, Leon, I'm looking at your hair right now on Zoom. Even on Zoom, your hair looks fantastic.
I'm in training for this book tour, Liz.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be, you know, seeing people and photos will be taken. And I want to look great. At least have my hair look great. And I feel like with prose, I am well on my way. And it's because it's personalized for me, Liz. Yes. Okay. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. So you take the in-depth consultation, you get the made-to-order stuff, and then you follow, you know, the instructions, Liz, and things get better. I take my vitamins. They're for me. They say Leon on it. I do, you know, the shampoo. I do the conditioner. I do the leave-in conditioner. Sometimes I do the pre-shampoo scalp treatment. That all the time, but that is one of it's in my toolbox. My prose toolbox.
Whatever it is, it's all paying off for you, Leon. You've just got a good hair game. Thanks to prose.
Thank you. Of the millions and millions of possible formulas, Liz, only one is uniquely mine, and that is why I love my prose. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/sisters. And prose is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Prose.com/sisters. Thanks, Prose, for great hair. Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky and it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know? Glowing.
I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box, Liz. Get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com, and Osea is O-S-E-A. OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
It's time for the Bitter Business Bureau, people. We haven't had one in a while. We've been trying not to be as bitter, but Liz, a couple of news stories broke through for you. You just couldn't help yourself.
I just
in came the bitter.
Well, sometimes I feel like it's our duty to just call a few things out. You know, just, we don't have to sit and take it all. So, okay, number one.
That's right, Liz.
Every once in a while, you got to just speak up for yourself. How about this one? Julie, this one shocked me. Even when I pitched it to Lee and she's like, that cannot be true. I'm like, it's true. Here's the headline. Think you own that dog? It might just be a lease. So this was a story in the New York Times this past Sunday, April 17th. This is about a woman named Catalina. She lost her job, and so she failed to make payments on what she thought was a loan. And it was financing that she had gotten when she bought her dog, Milo, a Shih Tzu poodle mix. But it wasn't really just regular financing. It was a lease. She, unbeknownst to her, it was a lease agreement she had signed, and they came to repossess her dog.
No,
what? Come on. Come on.
I just can't believe that's true.
Why would they even want the dog?
They don't. It's just a way of getting people to sign these complicated agreements. They said, this is the Attorney General of Massachusetts now. Families in Massachusetts looking to get a dog should not be trapped into lease agreements that are harmful, expensive, and illegal. So they're stepping in. The ASPCA said the practice of leasing pets was believed to have started around 2013 when a Nevada-based company, wanted to create the illusion that you were purchasing the dog, but really the finance instrument you were signing was a lease. And then it says people lease pets for many reasons. As opposed to those that are sold at shelters, dogs from pet stores can be expensive, sometimes costing thousands of dollars. So you think you're basically signing for a loan and it's a lease. So so poor Catalina Ortiz Sierra said they never, not once, said that it was a lease. They always said finance, finance, finance. And then she defaulted on it. Anyway, what is this world coming to?
That's not right.
It's just so unbelievable that you would lease a dog when there are thousands of dogs in shelters.
I know.
I think that's part of it too, Leanne. I think buying dogs from pet stores, just there are a lot of things that are bad about that. And this is just one more. So many of the dogs come from puppy mills, but this is exploiting both the person and the dog.
Yes.
And they can jack up the price of these dogs, these designer dogs. And but if they offer financing, you think, I can have,
Exactly. Yeah. You see the little doggy in the window. Come on. We're suckers for that. Anyway, so this is the Bitter Business.
Did she ever get her dog back or anything? No?
Let me see. She defaulted on the lease. Collectors demanded $13,000, more than three times the price of the dog.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's terrible. And now the poor dog is going to be sold to somebody else with money.
Yeah, and they don't really want the dog back. Okay. So moving on to a bigger dog, Elon Musk.
He's been busy, Liz. Yes.
Okay, this is just a whole category in my mind that I think of as these big baby billionaires, that it's just like never enough for them. And what is enough for you people? So the thing about Elon Musk is that, he's the founder of Tesla and he's the founder of SpaceX. Oh, he didn't actually found Tesla. He took over Tesla. But anyway, he's the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX.
Right.
So Elon, everyone thinks you're a genius. Can't you just leave it alone now? Isn't that what good enough? In addition to being a genius, do you also want to be the world's biggest jerk? So, genius or jerk, pick a lane.
What you think it's jerky that he's buying Twitter?
Yes, because here's what I think. So for those of you that might have fallen behind on this a little bit, he's like a Twitter power user, right? He says all sorts of crazy things on Twitter, even things where he has been warned by the Securities and Exchange Commission that as CEO of a public company like Tesla, he should not be saying the stuff that he's saying. He, 4 years ago, he said he was going to take the company private and he had financing. That jacks up the stock price. Boom. He makes more billions doing that. So I think he's always behaved very poorly on Twitter, besides all of his stupid like pot jokes and things. I don't know. So anyway, so but he's decided that he wants Twitter to be freer, to be more of a platform than so people can say what they really think. So he kind of secretly amassed enough shares to become the number one shareholder.
I mean, they asked him to go on the board, but he rejected that, right?
First, he said yes. First, he agreed, Julie. Mm-hmm. He agreed to go on the board. Then during the like 10 seconds he was on the board, he fired out another 100 tweets saying things like, you know, Taylor Swift doesn't tweet enough and we should turn the Twitter headquarters into a homeless shelter because people don't even come to work. So then the Twitter people are like, maybe we really don't want this guy on the board. He even sent out, I'm not encouraging anyone to look at his Twitter feed. I do not follow him. You should not follow him. But one of his tweets was, it was Elon smoking a joint saying, Twitter's next board meeting is going to be lit. This is what a big baby, super big
baby.
Mm-hmm. So, and then because he realized that there are rules, okay, now he's jerking around the Twitter stock price in addition to the Tesla stock price. So then he says, okay, forget it. I'm not going to go on the board. And then 24 hours later, he's like, I think I'll just buy the whole company instead. And so
this I can understand that. Why would he want to fool around with board governance?
No.
Committees, audit committees. That's no fun, right?
Right.
He must be Elon Musk. So he wants to be, he wants to free Twitter. He wants to get rid of, you know, some of the censorship that's going on there. He thinks it can be a great platform for democracy, you know?
Yes. Well, I disagree. And there's a difference between moderation and censorship. So good luck with that. But anyway, here's where I am now, Julie. So now you have Elon sort of sucking up all the oxygen in the room news-wise. And now we have all these lawyers and investment bankers like Morgan Stanley. Everybody is going to be making millions of dollars just on the drama of it all, right? The stock price is going to go up. All these investment bankers are going to get paid millions. You know, big baby Musk behaves like a big brat and gets away with it. And the rest of us, we're just trying to get our regular lives back, right? It just seems like so much, I'll just call it negative, pointless economic activity, right? It's not going to make any difference in the end at all to anyone. And yet we have to just like, we're supposed to be participating in this. So I'm not, I'm out. I just,
you're not going to pick a side. And
no.
I mean, that's, yeah. That's, what about the poison pill strategy that Twitter is now employing? Like if he does actually, you know, gain enough to control the board,
yes,
and then they said they're going to poison pill it. What is that? Go ahead, Liz.
What that means is, so say he gets to like, you know, 15% of all of the shares. The poison pill is they just issue a bunch of new shares at a discounted price to select people. So it's what they call it diluting his shares. So, you thought you were 15% of our shares? Well, now we just issued a million new shares. So now you're only 5%. So it's
I hate it here. But I think Liz is right. There are a lot of people that are going to benefit from this that have no part in it.
Yeah.
But the Twitter, I would have to say Twitter management has to really, you know, they're under pressure to really consider his offer because it was a premium offer.
Of course. Yes.
I mean, they have, you know, they can't just, you know, they're a public company. They've got to do it. And now they're probably likely to be sued if they do issue this poison pill. You
That's
know?
That's what I hated about the whole thing, Julie.
Yeah,
It's just a big baby being a brat, but now right. because it is a real offer.
Right. I mean, everyone involved is just, you know, is trying to, you know, we'll make money on this.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Yes.
You know, perhaps.
For no benefit at all to anyone.
Well, if he gains control, it may be, you know, it would certainly he'd benefit from making the changes that he thinks are appropriate for that company.
Of course. I'm just saying, you're already the guy running Tesla and SpaceX. Like, how narcissistic do you have to be to also just decide, I want to be able to say whatever I want to say, whenever I want to say it, and for $40 billion, whatever this offer is. I'm just tired of it, Joel. That's all. I'm just, that's why I believe in the iambic pentameter strategy.
Okay. Animals would work too, Liz.
Yes. I'm over it. It's like, I've also been watching the Apple TV Plus version, the TV show We Crashed, which is about another big baby billionaire, that guy that ran WeWork. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh my God. The actual news story was so frustrating and bad, but the TV series, it stars Jared Leto as Adam Newman and Anne Hathaway as his wife, Rebecca. It's really fun to watch. They are insane. Now, they're insane. But the thing about them is they never created anything. At least Elon, he's got two real companies. Anyway, I'm just over it. I just wanted to go on record. Everybody making millions of dollars, just jerking people around, not doing anything for the public good. That is all. I am out.
Thank you, Liz. And now begins Viola Davis appreciation.
Okay. We should have some
satellite
music,
sisters.
Some theme music. Okay.
To change the mood, change the mood.
Well, I just noticed that she is everywhere right this minute. So she, of course, as everyone knows, now I get People Magazine because it's the only magazine publishing anymore. So she was on the cover of People Magazine. And then she was on the cover of the New York Times Magazine on Sunday. And she's in the new TV series about the first ladies. And she has a new memoir coming out this week as well. So I'm excited about that. But, you know, Viola Davis, you feel like she's been around forever, but she really hasn't. And she has such an extraordinary life story. And I know this because I've read all the things now about her. And I've read all the things. I've taken them all in. And instead of being bitter, she is making the world a better place. But she grew up, she was born in South Carolina, in literally a one-room shack. Her family moved to Rhode Island because her father was a horse groomer. So he worked at the racetracks up there. But she grew up in incredible poverty. Oh my gosh, the stories of the poverty is just like the size of the rats in her bedroom at night with her sisters. Her father was an alcoholic. He was abusive. Her mother was, you know, managed to stay with her father, and was a human rights activist. But it just sounds like a very, very difficult childhood. She was bullied at school for her race and for the way she looked. And somehow she managed to find her way out of that, to go to college on a full scholarship for her acting. And then she went to Juilliard. And there was a really interesting chapter of her life at Juilliard where she said she just didn't connect. She felt like a foreigner because of her race. And she said, we were just putting on all this costume and makeup and doing Shakespeare. And that just didn't feel right to me. So she had the opportunity to go to Africa and she really rediscovered her roots and she found herself. And then she came back and she's like, I was a whole new person. I just had a whole new creative outlook and wasn't going to be ashamed of who I was anymore. But then it still took her career another 10 or 15 years to really take off. And her first breakthrough role was a Tony Award-winning production of Fences. But she didn't really get her first TV role until she was in her mid-40s when she did that Shonda Rhimes show, How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, yeah, that was
really
good.
That was her first TV show? Because I always feel like she's been around.
Feel like she's been around? But no, she's the first Black woman, first Black actor to achieve the triple crown of acting. So she has an Oscar for her role in Fences, 2 Tony Awards, and an Emmy for the lead in How to Get Away with Murder. So that's incredible. But just both of the interviews, and I'm sure her book, is just filled with so much humility about her talent and her family. And she also did all this work to forgive her father, at his death. And I was like, wow, that seems like a lot. And to understand her mother's role and all that. I don't know. I just really, I love her work and I love her. And now seeing that she really worked on herself and who she was for decades before sort of achieving what we think of as her stardom, incredible. So her book Finding Me comes out next week. And I pre-ordered the Audible because don't you want to hear her read her own
voice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, for sure. That sounds fascinating, Leah.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
No idea. Unbelievable Viola Davis Appreciation Day here at Satellites. Okay. Thank you, Viola.
See, that's a real genius.
And there she's you
just, go. She's just staying in her lane doing what she's great at. Thank you, Viola.
Yeah, well, it's the humility, Liz. And like, obviously she's a deeply spiritual person. And so like reading about her, how she perceives forgiveness and her place in the world, the opposite of the big baby billionaires is what I would say. Okay. All right. I have a little Facebook roundup. First of all, I did a pep talk this week. It was all about spring and celebrating spring. And then people are Satellites misters. Oh, they posted some Facebook in response because there was a giant Midwestern snowstorm.
I know.
Also, people in Portland also had snow last week. So thank you. Jackie in North Dakota posted a funny photo of her daughter in a bathing suit out there in the snow. Diana Madison, Wisconsin, snow-covered trees with the heading just like spring in Wisconsin. Lisa,
you have to have Kenosha. A sense of humor about that, I think.
So fantastic rebuttal to the pep talk. I appreciate that at the Facebook group. Also, a crazy story from Nancy. She and her husband were in Pompeii. Okay, I'm just going to read a little about this. On April 5th, my husband and I were on the train between Sorrento, Herculaneum, and Pompeii. After a lovely morning at Herculaneum, that's the other ancient site near there, they hopped back on the train to go to Pompeii. Now, she said it was weird that her husband was navigating because she was trying to reread Elizabeth the First Wife on her phone. Okay, so that's my second book. So her husband's like, hey, it's time to jump off here at Pompeii. And when she got to the platform, she said it was clear we were in the wrong place. And then it all came back to her. There are two Pompeii's. Okay. Remember when I went to Pompeii with my son and I told the story on the podcast?
Yes,
absolutely. The two Pompeii's. Mm-hmm. There's the Pompeii where 99% of people are going. And then there's the other Pompeii. But there's nowhere in the Napoli train station where it's clear that like you're at the wrong Pompeii. Like that one sign in English would clear it up, but they don't have it. One sign. So I told that story, like we didn't get on the wrong train, but I was aware of it. And so she said, she started to tell that story to her husband. No, Leon said there are two Pompeii's. No, she said, no, this is it. Why was she in Pompeii? She was researching a book. She was with Colin. I don't know. So this is Nancy and her husband, who I've never met, by the way, having a whole story about me and my trip to Pompeii. And I was a classics major reading my book. So finally they found the right Pompeii. Nancy, that story just made my day. Thank you so much. That was really fun. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, I think we'll have I'll post that. I posted it in the Facebook group, okay. But I'll post that particular episode around. Okay. And then finally, super nice book review from so many people. I love the photos of your books. The photos of the book in Paris, those get extra credit. Those are great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Lost and found in Paris. In Paris is how I'm starting to hashtag those. Fantastic. But thank you, Joshua, our friend over in Hong Kong. He said he absolutely loved it. Any novelist who can slip in a math joke and cause me to laugh out loud deserves a round of applause. having read all of Leon's previous novels, this one stands a cut above. Leon's storytelling and the weaving of the narrative from past to present and back again is as tightly woven as tapestries featuring Joan of Arc herself. What a literary review. So many thanks, Joshua, and many, many thanks to everybody else who has said nice things and posted nice things and posted reviews or gone over to Amazon and checked the good reviews and not checked the not great reviews. I really, really appreciate it. So thank you very much. The Lost and Found in Paris train rolls on. This week, I'm doing two virtual events. Both are free that you can get in on. I'll be on Friends in Fiction on Wednesday night with our friends over there at Friends in Fiction. I'm happy to be their first guest of their new season. That's at 7 p.m. Wednesday Eastern. You can see it on their Facebook page and on their YouTube. I will post a lot of links around, but if you just go to the Friends in Fiction Facebook page. That's the best way to find it, or YouTube. I'm going to do something called Book Bingo on Thursday night, and that's at 7 p.m. Eastern with six other authors for a library in Oklahoma. I'm looking forward to that. That is free. You have to register, but we each get 10 minutes to talk about our books, and I think there are prizes and things like that. It looks like a fun format. I've never done anything like that, but I'm looking forward to that. So Wednesday and Thursday, both virtual events, you can get in on with me and other authors. And then I'll be at the LA Times Festival of Books on Sunday. So that's
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
That's the biggest book festival in the United States of America, people. So
yes, it is.
So great that you have a panel there, Liam.
Yeah, it's great. I'm looking forward to that Sunday at 1:30. Someone emailed me about a book signing after. We signed right after the panel. I don't have any other signing scheduled that day. But I will be signing right after the panel, but I'll be there on Sunday. So I can meet you someplace to sign your books if you need me to.
Okay.
What else am I going to do?
That's just some high-end customer service right there. By the Trojan statue. This is on the campus of USC.
This is the humility Elon Musk doesn't understand. Yeah, I'll meet you anywhere. I'll carry your books. Can I park your car for you?
Julie Lee even came over to my house on Sunday to sign all the books I bought for all of my friends. So I have a personal signing in my dining room.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Okay. Now that I know you're doing that for the sisters. Okay, Liam, you're going to be on tap for sure.
All right. Stay with us. Entertaining Sisters up next.
Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there?
A lot of things going my way, Leanne, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy.
Yeah.
They want you to have
peace. She's better than many families. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. Free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right, time for some Entertaining Sisters recommendations. We have shows, we have TV, we got a lot going on today. Jewel, what's up?
Well, sisters, I told you at the beginning of the show that it's a big family birthday weekend, April 15th. And prior to my trip to the UNESCO biosphere, my husband and I had gone to New York to see our grandchildren and our son and daughter-in-law in New York. And we took our grandchildren to the Broadway show, The Little Prince on Broadway.
Oh, you, I didn't even know that was a show.
Okay. So, you know, the story of The Little Prince. Okay. This is, you know, a classic book available in both English and in French. I have to say, I hated it in both English and in French. Liz, I don't know. Did you have an opinion of
who could hate The Little Prince?
Oh, I hated that story. Oh, it went nowhere. It was boring. The allegories, the parables, didn't like it. But this is a big time Broadway production. And but here's the thing. It is an aerial ballet. It's all dancing. There's all aerials, gymnastics, juggling. these incredible sets. Okay. So it's the story is told through a series of vignettes, and each one of these vignettes has these, the scenery is amazing. Very striking scenery, very Frenchy French, highly stylized. The costumes were highly stylized in terms of that. And they were dancing, they're flying through the air. So really pretty good for young children. Okay. So because there's not a lot of plot going on. There's no dialogue. It's mostly just, people hanging upside down, swinging, dancing, catching each other. So what I would say about this is if you really want to go to a Broadway show, this is not the show for you. Okay. Because it doesn't have the kind of traditional singing, dancing, acting that you expect on Broadway. This was sort of a different experience. It's long. It's an hour and 50 minutes. There is an intermission, but I was surprised. I was sitting next to a four-year-old and a seven-year-old, and they were mesmerized the whole time.
Wow. Great.
They really enjoyed it. Okay. And I think because it was sort of so visually appealing, it was a very pleasant afternoon. But so who would like this? Like, maybe if you actually like the book, The Little Prince, you might like this now.
Which sure. Is everybody but you.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't think so, Liz. I think there are many people if they really admit it, I think it's one of those books where you say you liked it and you didn't really like it. That's what I think is going on.
Okay. I disagree. Yeah.
You loved it? You thought it was?
Yeah, wonderful. I think you're the only one that didn't like it. It's, I mean, again, it's like saying, oh, I hate Winnie the Pooh. I mean, I don't.
No, it is. Oh, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. Okay. So, I mean, I think if you're up for something very unusual, you would like this, but it is not traditional. The reviews, we saw it before the reviews came out. I did check some of the reviews. They're not really that great. The New York Times called it a lumbering circus, but I thought that's a little harsh.
Okay. It sounds a little Cirque du Soleil.
It is very Cirque du Soleil. Yes. I think that's about the closest thing to it. But if you're like, or I think if you drink a couple of French 75 cocktails, have a couple of strong cocktails, and then go sit through this, you would enjoy it very much. That's what I think. So I think if you just don't think about it so much and just enjoy the experience, and the last scene in the show is boffo. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That makes it. So that was The Little Prince. So consider it if you might.
Okay. Not exactly a resounding.
Well, I don't want to steer people wrong. I mean, that was my experience, but it was still great to be back on Broadway. It was great to be watching a Broadway show. I loved everything about that experience. So that was fun. And that's what I would say. Now back at home, I have a show I was just so excited when I heard it was being made into a 6-part TV series, Slow Horses. Are you familiar with this, sisters? I know you are, right?
Yes,
I've also been watching it.
Yeah. And I listened to all the books, the original books and audio. They're fun. They're super fun, British, funny. Yeah. MI5 books. Great.
So this is based on a book, on books by Mick Herron. And it is the story of Slow Horses refers to MI5 agents that have screwed up. Somehow in their career, they have done something wrong and they've been sent to this one place, Slough House, right? And this is where like all the misfits go. It stars Gary Oldman, who is amazing, funny, great.
Yeah.
And he plays a broken down, drunk, but still highly effective MI5 agent. Okay. And he reports to the head of the MI5, who is played by Kristen Scott Thomas. Or is it Kristen Thomas Scott? Which way is his name?
We know who you mean. Yes.
Okay. So that is a story. So it's this band of misfits. So it's got some incredible characters, very, very witty, funny dialogue. dog. I mean, they are just so quick and sharp with each other. And then the plot itself is actually excellent. I can't even describe the plot because I don't want to give out any of the clues to it. Mm-hmm. But it's 6 parts. It's on Apple Plus. I highly recommend it. If you like any sort of British spy things, this is your show.
I agree. I'm finding it super entertaining too, Julie.
Yep. Yeah. Well, listen to the books then. You might enjoy it. It's just really fun. The books are fun. All right. So I have another British TV show, Anatomy of a Scandal, to recommend. Now, what's great about this is it's another David E. Kelly production. So remember during the pandemic when we all watched The Undoing, even though it was totally mediocre, with Hugh yes. Grant and, you know, Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah.
And it was terrible. So much hair and so many coats and, oh my goodness, the interiors of those New York apartments. So this is basically that in London. So it's all good. British.
Okay.
So, and it's David E. Kelly and Melissa James, what's her name? Melissa James Gibson did House of Cards. So it's these two matched up to do a multi-part series based on a book by Sarah Vaughan. And it's about a politician who is, of course, messing around with his assistant, and then his life begins to unravel. So Rupert French is the super handsome actor that plays the politician. Sienna Miller back in the game as the wife. Okay. And she's got the hair and she's got the coats. I mean,
so she's got the Nicole Kidman role.
She's got her hair tucked into her coat collar, which they show that shot quite a few times. So that's definitely a theme. But then we have Lady Mary, Julie. Lady Mary is back.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Michelle Dockery's in it.
Okay.
And Michelle Dockery, every other role she's taken has been like, how far away from Lady Mary can I get?
Yes.
You know,
I'm yes. Say, you know. Is that what she is in this? I mean, she played like flight attendants. She's played killers. Yeah.
Right. No, Lady Mary is back, but imagine her as a 21st century barrister. Like she's posh, she's snobby, she's got the accent, you know, she's got the clothes. I mean, she has to wear those stupid wigs in court, which you just can't believe they still do in England. But anyway, but it's good.
Send him a note about that, Leah. Maybe they can make some changes.
So it seems to actually be better than The Undoing. It's holding together better. So
again, that's a great review. Better than The Undoing.
And where is this, Leah? Anatomy of a Scandal is where?
It's on Netflix.
Netflix. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So all right. There you go. I will definitely check that out. Thank you for that recommendation.
Yeah.
That
sounds good. As soon as I finish Slow Horses, I'll move right on to Anatomy of a Scandal. Okay. All right. Well, I have a short public service announcement I would like to make now, because I've gotten a couple of emails that sound the way this one sounds from listener Gail. Gail wrote, I am no longer able to download episodes. I can only stream. I love to download multiple episodes and listen in bed on my little iPod. Is there a site where I can still download this wonderful program? I've been listening for 8 years and I miss it. Hope, !! Yes, Gail, you're right. We did, when we changed the platform on our new website, that's not downloadable there anymore. But the best place where you can easily download all of our episodes is Apple Podcasts. That's the place that we would recommend that you would go. And I was even on there this morning checking. If you go to applepodcasts.com, if you check for Satellite Sisters, you'll see every episode listed there. And then you click on the little 3 dots right there, and it says download episode. And so you can download whatever episodes you want at all times from Apple Podcasts. I even, because your note said you're on an iPod, got to give you points for like going old school, Gail. I even went to Apple support to see, can you download podcasts onto an iPod. Yes, it can be done. You can do the same. I don't want to read you what the help desk said to me, but you can just fix your settings to make sure it says download episodes and you will be able to do that. So I hope that works for everyone. That's the simplest advice I can give. Almost all of the podcast listening apps let you download the episode. So you can go wherever you want to go. For us, it's best if you go to Apple Podcasts, and I think it's easiest from a user point of view. So do that. And then one last thing I'm going to say, we got a very nice review on Apple Podcasts where it was the headline of the review just says, Tuesday is now my favorite weekday. We got 5 stars and it says, Tuesday is now my favorite weekday. I found Satellite Sisters during lockdown. That's all. That's the whole review. Yay.
Very nice.
And it's from an account called Still Dixie Landings to Me. So I Googled what that was. I was like, is that from a TV show or something? And that's apparently a former Disney resort name. Remember that? There was a place called Dixie Landings. Anyway, so thank you for listening. Thank you for reviewing. We really do appreciate it.
All right, that's the podcast today. We'd like to thank Sergio Enriquez for engineering the show. Thank you, Sergio. And a big thanks to Emily Loudermilk, who does our graphic design. To see Emily's work, please follow us on Instagram at Sat Sisters. You can also see it in our newsletter, Pep Talk. It's easy to subscribe to Pep Talk. Every week, you never know what's going to be in it, right?
It's some weeks so it's peppy. It's so peppy. Forward.
Mm-hmm. I usually put a recipe now, a book, other
pictures of your garden.
You never know. There's an essay for me, a Pep Talk. There's always the show notes are right there, easy to access. So just go to satellitesisters.com and the sign up, the bubble will pop up in the first second or two. Just put in your email. We never sell those email lists because we just don't know how to do that. So you can see Emily's graphics in Pep Talk as well, or join our Facebook group. Just Google the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. It's our private group. It's our private group on Facebook. You do have to answer the questions to be let into the group. So please do that. All right, it's time for our to-do list. Jewel, what's on your to-do list?
I am going to my 4th Jazzercise class. Yes, Liz and Ryan, have rejoined the Jazzercise Nation. I have been entered into the warm embrace of the women in North Texas who do Jazzercise. I've been going. I was looking for some extra little exercise routine where it would be aerobic and I could do weights and stretching. Jazzercise. I'm loving it. Okay.
It's fun. I, my friend Marilyn, who just turned 80 last year, she goes. And so we celebrated her 80th birthday at her Jazzercise.
Oh, it's so good. The women are so nice there. Yes. I was in the back. I was there with my friend Margaret. We went to the free lesson and then we both have joined, but we're still in the back as we're learning the steps and figuring out things as they go, but we are loving it.
All right. Grapevine. Do it, Jewel. Grapevine. Okay. On my to-do list, it's my husband's birthday this week. And I always have to remind myself to not forget my husband's
work.
Because I did it once our first year we were married. You know, I didn't know him that well when I married him. So it's not surprising that I wasn't 100% sure of his birthday. And I remember I said yes to Bunko the first year and on his birthday. He's like, it's my birthday. I was like, well, it's hard to get into this Bunko group. And it was terrible. I've never lived it down. So I'm trying not to forget his birthday and I'm going to try to get him an actual gift. So that's on Friday, Earth Day.
Okay.
Liz, how about you?
Okay. Well, initials for you. LATFOB, that stands for the LA Times Festival of Books. I know we mentioned it earlier. Of course, I'm going to your panel, Leanne, which I'm very excited to see you up there. But the LA Times Festival of Books is this amazing thing, covers the entire USC campus for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. It's all kinds of bookstores and authors speaking, and it's just super fun. So yeah, I'm just going to be rocking the LATFOB. And very, very excited to be part of the audience for you.
Thank you, Liz. I appreciate that. All right, sisters, have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.